So before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. This was the premises which he established on the terms of our returning to him, that we should be holy. If you want to enter into my Father's bosom, as it was revealed when we were in the Father's bosom, as we were within that dimension, what we saw, we desired. That is to enter into the fullness of God. But we were not yet prepared for that, because we came out from our Father. Okay, but now to return to him, we have to be equal to him. So this engrafting is necessary for the purpose of the equalization, okay, to be equal to him. And so God puts his name within us for this adoption, so that we can be equal to him, that we can be as those which inherit him, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's the word holy and without blame. That means, or the word without blame, which means without fault, as those which are the protesters. The word fault has to do with a breach, and death in a conscience is a fault. Okay, death in a conscience is a fault. Death in a conscience is a breach. And when a breach is present, it's like a large gully or a large void. And that void is also expressed in Hades. Okay, in Hades, there's a large void. Okay, that large void is a reflection of the conscience. Okay, the defiled conscience is put within an environment, whereas there is a large void. And we can see this in that which is the Lord revealed about Abraham. Okay, then when Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, he says to the rich man, "You cannot come to us because there's a large void here." That void was in the conscience of the rich man. Okay, the breach was in the conscience of the rich man, so that breach is now revealed within reality of that of Hades. But now Jesus has removed the breach within our own conscience, becoming the judge, okay, of our conscience. Because the breach is removed, death is now subdued and removed. Okay, it's been removed, so that now we enter into that glory. Okay, those which are before the cross entered into the caverns of hell, into the chambers of darkness. Okay, but which are not chambers of torment, was in chambers of darkness. Okay, whereas they had certain subsidence provided for them. Okay, within those chambers until Christ would come. And now when Christ came down here, he was that bridge. Okay, he was the mediator. Okay, he's the mediator of our faith. And so he removed the breach by becoming the bridge. We can see this also in the book of the prophets. Okay, who shall stand in the breach? Okay, the stewardship stands in the breach, and Jesus Christ is the chief steward. Okay, the chief steward of our salvation, and he stood within the breach. By the brightness of his faith, he stood within the breach, and he took out those which are in the depths of hell. Okay, so he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Okay, for the purpose of sealing the breach. The breach was sealed within the conscience. Okay, and in other words, he now stands and sits as a judge. There is no longer a breach within our conscience, because the tokens of his light, okay, continually give us access into his throne. Okay, these are the things which our Father revealed to us when we were his bosom, but now we are experiencing the reality of it within this dimension of the waters, and we shall experience the fullness of it in our Father's bosom when he opens the gates, and when he opens the gates of the throne, and when he says, "It is finished." That we enter into now that internal inheritance as being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And he will seat us each one by one upon the throne of his glory, which it has to do in the position of his Godhead, to carry on the traditions of our Father. So here in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, which is talked about, by Jesus Christ to himself. See the word Jesus Christ to himself. Yeah, that now we are received back to him, being equal to himself. Only because Jesus provided the pattern for this bonding and joining and building. Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And you see that which God delights within. And meets his expectation, because God delights in these things, as we read about in the book of Exodus, concerning the cunning craftiness. The cunning craftiness. Because it has to do with God delights within this detail. God delights within this detail, putting these things together by the skill of the Spirit. Okay, the skill of the Spirit. There is no restriction to the skills of the Spirit. And we can see this from the design of all creation. From the minuteness, okay, of the elements concerning the construction of the atom. The seven shells of the atom is also reflected within the seven heavens. It's reflected of that. From the minuteness to the greatness, even to the design of the universe itself is like just a small cell. Okay, it's just like a small cell. Okay, so that God can put the whole universe within the chamber of your own heart. Okay, that shows the uniqueness of the soul. Even though soul is as a drop of water, yet God inhabits your soul. Okay, and of course, when God inhabits a soul, the whole universe is in when God Himself. So that shows that the soul has the capability of expansion, just like the holy city. The soul itself has a capacity that's beyond that of the universe. That's why God designed the brain with enormous capacities, but only a very, very small percentage of the brain is used. And of course, scientists will affirm that. They will affirm that we use a very small portion of our brain, but shows that the capacity, the design of it was for something that's greater than our present experience. Our present experience of the flesh is very, very limited. It's very, very limited. It's like putting a whale inside of a goldfish bowl. Our brain was really not designed for darkness. Our brain was designed for light. Okay, and that we will be able to expand beyond the boundaries of our present being. And we know that we were designed for that. But sinners don't understand why they feel so frustrated. And they know within themselves that they were created for something better, that they were born in this dimension for something that's better and greater than themselves. So they continue to explore the avenues of the imagination and the aspiration. They think the avenues of the imagination and the aspiration is the door of the vortex for this exploring. Okay, but that's the door of darkness and the door of condemnation and corruption and death, the imagination. And that's why Jesus referred to himself, I am the door. In other words, when you walk in me, when you come within me, there is no limitations to my power. But right now, we're under the restrictions of faith. Okay, that faith and the imagination are separated from each other. But there's a time coming where our Father will give unto us the totality of our design, which has to do with joint, that which is joint in imagination, has no restriction. But now we're learning obedience through our long-suffering and patience of hope. Having predestinated the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, we see that in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will, these things which he delights in to meet his expectation. This is his joy, a joy of bearing his likeness. And of course, we can see that in John 16:21, as concerning the travail of a woman. When the child is born, she forgets that pain because the joy that a child is born. Okay, a woman in travail goes through that pain in order to produce that life. To the praise of the glory of his grace. I like the word praise of the glory because when you read the Holy Scriptures, as you read these epistles, you notice that this is referenced to on more than one occasion. And we can see this even right here in one chapter. Okay, where he says in verse 6, the praise of his glory. To verse 12, the praise of his glory. In verse 14, to the praise of his glory. Okay, this is the crown of all virtue. Okay, of all creation, we have been engrafted the Spirit, the most honored of his wisdom. The most honored of his wisdom. That this is the power he granted to us for the purpose of enlightening us to this power. And these are the tokens of his propitiation. Of all creation, our adoption far exceeds that of the most powerful angels, the most powerful eight great princes, and even greater than the watchers. The watchers, which were bestowed with many powers. Even Enoch himself, though he had 10 gates of 300,000 blessings within each gate, and 1,365,000 blessings which were stored upon him. Okay, and upon that, blessing upon blessing, that was only a small portion. Okay, that was a small portion, a percentage of Jesus' fullness. Okay, and these things were granted to Enoch, whose name was changed to Metatron, and 70 other great names which our Father assigned to him for his functions within that dimension as a scribe of the God's throne, as a scribe of the throne of the Lord. These were powers which God granted to him just for that one purpose. And that was a very small percentage. And yet we We are the children of his adoption, shall enter into a greater percentage of that. I mean, the fullness of Christ. Now, the praise of the glory of his grace. The grace of God is provided for us in order for this adoption to come to its full cycle, entering back to our Father's bosom. So the praise of the glory of grace, we express this virtue. We express this virtue in our charity. The praise of the glory of his grace. And the word glory has to do with that, which is the total substance of creation. You say the total substance of creation. Okay, our adoption far exceeds that, even of the greatest angels. So the praise of the glory of his grace. His wisdom now enlightening us is going to bring us into the reality, thus to be accepted in the beloved. Wherein is he accepted us in the beloved? Okay, we are worthy and qualified. He has, because of the powers of his propitiation, he has made us worthy and qualified. He has qualified our faith by his record. Okay, so that by these things, we abide in him, and we also function in and live accordingly, okay, to the tokens of his adoption. Okay, the tokens of adoption, okay, I'll reiterate that, which has to do with the government, the truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts and the callings and graces of God, okay, are all tokens of his propitiation. And this is what the Apostle John brings out in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, he talks about the tokens of our propitiation. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he, being the judge of our conscience, he continually provides us these measures of his grace in order for us to continually remain obedient to him through our cycles of growth, because of the struggles that are continually confronting us, the tokens of his grace to confront the things of contradiction. Our flesh is a contradiction to the spirit. When we came into God's kingdom, that reality became most evident. Okay, the sinners don't understand the struggle that we go through. Okay, we go through the struggles of choices, but they don't. And that's why they said, you'll hear people say that, I wasn't confused about myself until I became a Christian. And when I became a Christian, then suddenly I had all these issues. Okay, when we were in the kingdom of darkness, you notice that we had no issues of choice. When we were in the kingdom of darkness, we did what we wanted to do. We did that which is in flow and in rhythm with our own signature. And there was no struggle with that. Okay, we made decisions based upon darkness when we were in that kingdom. But when you came to the kingdom of light, now the struggle exists. Why? Okay, that is proof itself of our adoption. Okay, the struggle is proof of that adoption. And we can see that this was evident when Jesus was in the garden. And when he prayed, he sweat as it were great drops of blood. And why did he sweat as great drops of blood? Because through his atonement, he was going to birth a people like unto himself. Okay, so even though we struggle with that which is a flesh, okay, it's only because of the purpose of our being born of him. Okay, as a woman in travail. Okay, a woman in travail goes through that pain in order to produce that life. We go through that in our cycles of growth.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.